This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Hi, I'm John Oliver, member number one. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. You're with Chris, Gordon and Phil, and we sound like... I sound like a croaky Chris.
Well, I'm not so bad, but I'm a bit croaky as well.
That was Gordon. And this is Phil. I sound like Phil.
You sound like Phil.
Yeah, usually.
Usually, yeah, well, that's quite true. You do too. But what I want to say is that how quick was that week?
Well, yes, indeed.
Really? It seemed like yesterday we were in here doing this.
No, I count 7 days.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right, okay. But the weeks are just flying by already.
I want to say cheerio to some of our new listeners. Tristan.
Oh, yes.
Tristan M.
Tristan M. Oh, yes, yes, I know Tristan M.
And also Vicky and a couple of other people who will go unnamed.
Oh, why is that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, yes.
And also good day to Nina.
Oh, yes.
And hello to Nina and Cupcake. Hope Cupcake's feeling.
We love to get your little massages.
And anybody can send us a massage.
Yes.
Or a note or an email at beingthere@joy.org.au. I looked at Gordon and drew blank face. That happens a lot.
That happens a lot, yes. Not when we're preparing the show, though. There's never any blank faces when we're doing that. But
there are two versions of Been There, Done That. There's the one you're listening to now and the one we do in our pre-production meeting.
Yes.
But nobody's allowed to record that.
Just as well, because we get out of our system all the naughty things that we're not allowed to say on air.
And we go off on some of those tangents that are inappropriate.
Definitely.
And certainly irrelevant.
Okay.
And we restrict ourselves back onto the topics when we come in and do the show that we're supposed to be talking about, like gay history or gay identities or things that have happened in our world in the last week or so that have impinged upon our lives, things that are interesting and things that are absolutely boringly common to everybody, like the stupid cough and cold, sore throat that I picked up through kissing too many men.
On Midsummer.
Exactly.
It wasn't the heat at all.
No.
It was the men.
Boy germs.
Boy germs. Mm. Yes, okay, righto. That's his story, Philip, and we're sticking with it.
Well, he's sticking with it.
Well,
I'm not kissing him to find out.
Neither am I.
No. I kept myself away from the office for 3 days, and I really found that lying in bed was about the best medicine I could give myself.
Well, it usually is, you know, and they say that sleep is a very good curative because your body is in a relaxed state and it gives it a chance to regenerate itself and all the rest of it.
I couldn't have cared less about TV or any of those subjects, although we are in the middle of the sporting season, and we'll talk about that a little later in today's show.
Mm-hmm. To all the Trekkies, Chris was in the Borg in regeneration mode.
Oh, was that what it was?
They'll know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. Thank you. we've got a couple of gay identities who have been raising consciousness in ourselves and in the general community. We'll be talking about diseases. I'll go on again about my... No, I won't. And we'll be talking about the sporting events that we have around in Melbourne at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And or the tourists that it attracts as well.
All those Swedish boys.
Mm. Oh, stop it, Phil. However, today, let's talk about Pride March, which is coming up.
Yes, that's next Sunday is Pride March.
Yes,
the 29th. Yes, and so it's a day when we very visible to the rest of the city and country as a group of out and proud people, which is what we don't normally do that apart from Midsummer Carnival when we're all together. But the march down the street makes it look as though we're here.
It's one of the few times you get yourself on network television.
Yes.
Well, in fact, we don't of late because we've stopped being a novelty.
Yes, I think that's probably
true.
The
TV used to get their 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock grabs of people in weird costumes or in leather or something, that the non-regular people of our community. And when in fact you look at the march, it's the biggest group of ordinary-looking people that you've ever seen.
Including us.
Including us. But that's where we differ a bit from the Mardi Gras, where everybody gets dressed up in costumes and all the rest of it.
What makes a Mardi Gras.
Yeah, but see, there are a few people that do get dressed up. A lot of the drag community get dressed up in all their finery, and they march down the road in high heels. I don't know how they do it, because it's hard enough in ordinary shoes. But they do a wonderful, wonderful job. And then you get the leather people, and you get the dykes on bikes, and you get all that stuff to start with.
Yeah, but as the name suggests, we're all in our various groups, and we're all quite proud to be who we are.
That's exactly right.
Under the greater label of being the community.
The community, yes. The Out and Proud Gay Pride March, yes. I haven't seen the forecast for Sunday's weather, but it's usually quite hot.
Wouldn't it be nice to be 15 degrees and cloudy with a southerly?
Oh, no.
No, thank you. Have you ever carried a banner down that Blooming Fitzroy Street with
the
wind blowing?
You generate heat while you're walking.
Oh, yes. Okay, mate. Righto.
But, yes, I'm not a Bayside person.
I have been in every one of them so far.
So how many would have that been?
22 this year, I think.
22? Wow, yeah. I've probably been in about the same. But for me, the first one was a great coming out experience. As we all know, you keep coming out.
You never stop.
Through your whole life. But here was a new opportunity for me to be with another group of gay people and identified as gay, walking down Fitzroy Street in St Kilda. It's a gay zone, but even so.
And we used to walk twice as far. We had to go right around past Tallulah Park before we finished then in that first march.
But see, you don't have to be coming out at the start of the concept of the parade, because every year people are coming out or they're joining the parade as part of coming out, or to feel part of the community. And that's the wonderful thing about the parade, is that it's not just about the old days.
No.
It'll integrate with new people coming in of all ages.
That's right. Yep.
And it's such an open feeling and welcoming and non-threatening.
It certainly is. But I'm feeling a little bit for Nina, who won't be able to get to the march.
No, and it's not televised, so you don't see anything or anything of it. You may grab a spot on the, probably it could be on SBS News or something like that.
The networks show it, but it's not going to be covered live like the Anzac Day March just yet.
No, we'll
get there one day.
But there are plenty of people who miss out on the opportunity of coming out in a group function like that that would certainly warm the cockles of their hearts. Wasn't it interesting earlier this week when, in fact, Mr. Trump was inaugurated as the next president of the US, and he had his small group of friends in the Washington Mall, is that what it's called?
Yep.
And then the following day, there was that protest. Twice as many people.
Well, it was a women's march against Trump.
Yeah.
But there was a hell of a lot of men there too. Don't worry.
Well, he's universally disliked. We're equal opportunity. Well,
so there is strength in numbers, but there's also a statement in the lack of numbers.
Yeah, but so the more people that come to watch our Pride March, the more visible we become. Yes, so anyhow. Now, can I just mention a movie that I saw during the week?
Oh, please, Gordon, yes.
I went to see, I'm recommending that everybody that's in the gay community go and see this movie, because it's absolutely brilliant. It's called Moonlight, and it's the story of a young African-American boy growing up, and it's told in three parts. I'm not going to give anything away.
No spoilers.
The actors are superb. I didn't know any of them. The young boy that plays the younger primary school child is stunning. The acting is just, I don't know where he got it from, but it was just great. And then as he progresses through to manhood, it is, and the ending is just mind-bogglingly beautiful. It's just, And I read the Age Crit, and the Age don't give movies 5 stars very often, but they gave this one 5 stars, and I would say that this is going to finish up as a classic movie in the gay genre.
Well, so, we've got the Melbourne Queer Film Festival coming up in March.
Yeah.
And that will and is normally a wonderful exposure for gay filmmakers, gay film stories, and artists and actors. But this is mainstream.
This is a mainstream movie. And I was interesting when I read the credits at the end. Brad Pitt had something to do with the production of it.
Wow.
Yeah. He was. His name's up there in lights sort of thing at the top of the list. Yeah. Go and see it. It's on general release at the moment, and I can recommend it if you're a gay and out person. It's a beauty.
Mm-hmm. Terrific, then. Mm. Well, all right. We'll look out. And the name of it again was?
Moonlight.
Moonlight. Excellent.
With some what I'd call gay music playing in the background here.
Well, Depeche Mode, Can't Get Enough. Here on Joy. Been there, done that. Gordon, Phil and Chris.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. Joy.org.au for the world.
You're with Chris Gordon and Phil. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us. We enjoy your company. I hope you enjoy our company, even when we're not firing at our best sometimes, like I am. So I apologise in advance. The brain is not really connected terribly well. But one of the people who we want to mention who's having a birthday round about this time is a fellow by the name of Peter Tatchell, born on the 25th of January 1952, born in Melbourne, Australia.
Yes, a local lad. Went overseas, didn't he?
And he became a bit of a stirrer. And I think we need stirrers in the country to make the water a bit murky sometimes. He was best known for his work as an LGBT social movements activator.
And as you say, we needed people like that in the community when Peter started doing this. He worked a bit in Australia, then he took off to go to England, and he became quite an outrageous person because he worked for a magazine, I think it was called Outrage, and he was one of those stirrer guys that absolutely stirred it up, you know, where people would be sort of tend to not sort of want to get out and do anything and just live their lives. He'd have made everybody aware.
Well, he started out in small ways. Like, if he'd heard a song that had anti-gay sentiments in it, he would ring up the radio stations and complain and say, this is not good enough. He was at Mount Waverley Secondary College, and he launched a campaign in support of Australia's Aboriginal people, and he was elected secretary of the school's student representative council, and he was school captain, and he led a campaign for Aboriginal land rights. These activities led the headmaster to claim he had been manipulated by the communists.
Oh, yes. Well,
hello.
It was 1968. The communists were everywhere.
They were really big in those days.
Well,
they? Yes, yeah.
In 1969, he accepted himself as gay. To avoid conscription into the Australian Army, and that shows another side of him, he moved to London. And he became a leading member in the Gay Liberation Front in the early 70s in London. Now, that as an organisation was a really strong rallying point for the gay community.
They were really radical too. They didn't stop at anything. They just went for it.
Well, as you said, Gordon, the outrage was just rising in volume and noise and quantity about the injustices.
Because in British Parliament, they passed a law about homosexuality, I think, and it took 10 years to get it sort of into the books and on statutes or something or other. It took such a slow process of getting it all recognised.
But Peter would have been just one of these people who couldn't sit back scared of the oppression that the community was under and just figured, well, if somebody's got to speak out, it's going to be me.
And he's been doing it ever since.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, can you imagine in 74 in Melbourne, the situation was much the same in the UK. There were pubs that wouldn't serve us poofs.
There were two that would. I know them very well.
Oh, yes.
Two or three that did.
But he organised sit-ins. He would get a crowd of gay people and they would go and sit in these
pubs in London.
And, oh, my goodness me, they've swamped the bar. No one else can get in. We're taking nothing across the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear, we can't throw them out because they're not being disruptive. They're just sitting there looking pretty and freaking out all the straight people that are coming in.
Serves them right.
Exactly.
It's what we do.
Exactly.
Yes, but he had some very wonderful ideas about getting the gay community organised and activated. But
well, he found, if I can interrupt, please, Gordon, that when he'd have these demonstrations, the local constabulary would come out and they start attacking the gays.
Mm, mm.
And he said, well, you know, this is harassment. This is not the way you should be managing us. So there was pressure being applied back to the police. So it's being applied back to the pub owners, etc., etc. And this is where the gay community, as a gay liberation front in UK, found that they had a lot of power, and they put it to good use.
And it's a good way to do it because you're not hurting anybody. You're just making sure that your message is being heard and taken notice of.
It was the first and brutal ways that we were trying to claim equality.
Mm. We're still waiting for it too in some places.
In some ways we are.
Mm. Yeah. You mean right here, right now?
Yeah.
Well, yours.
Yes, well, talking locally at the moment, they've just formed a committee to go into look at the aspects of a law that would allow gay people to be married in the same-sex relationships. And now they want to let religious organisations say that you can't, that they don't have to marry you if they
can remain bigoted.
Yeah, they can remain bigoted.
But it's basically an engineering problem, because when the sky falls, they want to have the legislation there that will cover the damage from the sky falling.
Oh, yes. Well, there's a point. No.
And when Chicken Little finally looks up and the sky's still there, maybe he'll see that nothing bad happened.
No, that's right. Well, it hasn't happened in any other country. And I was reading in a magazine the other day where there's another small country. It could be an island nation, I think, in the Pacific, is legislating to have same-sex marriage.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does Jeebus think?
I don't know.
What would Jeebus do?
I don't know. But anyhow, yeah, so what are we doing? We're supposed to be an enlightened country.
We should get out there in the street now and act up.
Act up, yeah.
That's a good name for a protest group.
That was a very good name for a protest group, and they were very, very good too.
Oh, they messed up traffic in San Francisco, I'll tell you that.
Yes, I'm sure they did.
All you've got to do is block a bridge and people get upset.
Oh.
But they pay attention.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
Thank you for paying attention. You're with Corden, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. You're one of my kind.
Oh, are we?
Rogue Traders versus In Excess here on Joy. You're one of my kind.
This Joy program has a podcast and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
And in fact, you certainly can subscribe to podcasts, because that's the other member of our team. It's Julia, what does our podcast for us. So when I say you're listening to Phil, Gordon, Chris, I need to say, and Julia.
Mm. Well, you're not hearing her, you're hearing her work.
Yes,
you certainly are.
You wouldn't be hearing us if it wasn't for Julia, let's put it that way.
I contend we have to say things first, because if we sat here for an hour and didn't say a thing, nothing would be podcast.
That's exactly right, yes.
Although the show might be better.
Yeah.
That's arguable.
Yeah.
Now, we were just talking about Peter Tatchell, the outrage activist, the Australian one, born in Mount Waverley, Melbourne, Australia, 25th of January 1952. Someone born on the 26th of January 1958, Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes, she's having a birthday.
Another one. She's been on the TNV for a long time.
In her current format show, she's in her 14th season.
Wow.
Which, for a daytime talk show, is mighty impressive.
Is that longer than Oprah?
Ooh, Oprah went way back. I don't know. But now, it's a completely different show.
I'm not a looker at daytime TV, but did Ellen come out on TV?
She came out in her sitcom, which was very interesting. She did one season and then decided she'd had enough. And in the second season, her character, Ellen, came out on the show, Ellen, as gay Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
And Hollywood spat her out, tromped all over her, in what must be the most hypocritical of actions you can think of.
Yeah, but since then, there are more openly gay people working on television than there are in movies in Hollywood.
Yeah.
The Hollywood...
So what
studios.
Happened? Because, I mean, she was still loved by the public. She was a Hollywood reactor, says, oh, we can't have gay characters on television, which is interesting because Will and Grace are coming back on.
Yes, that's right. Yes, they're doing a show for that.
And Ellen, I think, has actually won the long-term battle. Oh, I see in our notes here she had 17 People Choice Awards. Well, that was until this weekend when she won three more. And she now has more People Choice Awards than anyone else ever. She's got the Presidential, what was that, Medal of Freedom?
Yes.
Which
Obama gave her that. Yeah.
Well, she helped get him elected.
Yeah, that's right.
And,
well, I wonder if Trumpy will take it back.
No, can't take it back.
Can't take those back.
But
he'd try, but he wouldn't get far.
I bet if he tried to give any away, there's a lot of people would say no, thank you.
Like
certainly at the moment.
Like the stars didn't attend his inauguration, yeah. But they turned out in force for the protest march.
Yes, but Ellen, she has a marketing side too. She's got the Ellen shop, and you can get the Ellen underwear, which is famously comfortable.
Have you?
I haven't, but all the stars wear it. And she sells...
Well, all the girl stars?
No, all the boys. It's men's underwear.
What?
Yep.
Oh, all right. Okay.
And
I thought you were joking.
She sells... No, this is dead serious. She sells Ellen water, which comes in a plastic bottle. It's a slightly blue tinge. And because she's a comedian, underneath the title Ellen water, it says, tastes funny.
Okay.
But yes, it's easily one of the best shows on television, day or night.
Well, I've never seen it. I must admit, in 14 years, I've never seen it.
She has a lot of gay guests, and a lot of the young gay male singers that we now know got their first television appearance on her show.
I think Adam Lambert was one of them, wasn't he?
No, he came through American Idol.
Yeah, but he
But
did.
A lot of these younger ones, even Troy Sivan has been on Ellen.
Yeah.
But,
she would be the female equivalent of the Graham Norton concept?
Oh, in today's...
She'd be bigger than him.
Yeah, well, she'd be bigger than him, but yeah, she similar thing. His is a nighttime chat.
Yeah.
And his is, I think, purely star-based.
Yeah.
Where if she sees a good deed done, she will reward that person, interview them, and quite frequently give them $10,000.
She would have been able to do a lot of things about good deeds that were done in Bourke Street on Friday for all our different people.
Yeah, wonderful show. Highly recommended. Hard to catch it during cricket season because it gets preempted by the cricket. But it's replayed on one of the other channels later in the day.
Now, one of the other things that's happened in ancient history that affected us, and have I got an echo of it in my body at the moment? I'm not sure. But in 27th of January 1919, an influenza epidemic reached New South Wales.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a little bit concerned about actually how it got there, because I would have thought flu bugs would have sort of died on the ships coming out, but I suppose if it just went round and round on the slow travelling ships in that day, because there was no planes.
No, that's right, yeah.
And that was the only means of the flu coming to us, but it was running around the world. It was very nasty, and I suppose...
But even if they'd had planes back... Well, not in those days, but not long ago, somebody would come along with a can of spray and walk down the middle of the cabin
that
and spray
only,
all the passengers anyway.
That was only for the flies.
Flies and bugs.
Oh.
That's all that was for, not for influenza.
I thought it was stop those foreigners bringing their germs in.
No, no. It was to do with that, with on their feet and all the rest of it. But yeah, but that the influenza epidemic killed millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people in every country in the world. And it when it hit Sydney, it sort of devastated the Sydney population as well.
It was called the Spanish flu. And one of the world's natural disasters of the time. And I suppose it was only until medications got a little bit better that we're able to get it under control.
Yeah, well, the flu, they didn't invent a flu vaccine for many, many years after that, did they? Because it was in the 60s.
The concept of vaccines would have come along very much later.
Yeah, yeah.
There's even people now who don't believe in them.
Oh, yeah.
But they think the planet's flat and
there's that about it too.
The sun revolves around Earth.
One of the old diseases that we used to not have a cure for or a remedy for was diabetes. In fact, if your body went into meltdown, as diabetes promotes, there was no hauling you back.
Nope.
This is type 1 diabetes, which you're born with. Mm. And basically you lose control of your sugar levels.
Yeah, now that's not your sweetness levels.
Not the personality.
No.
But it's your blood glucose, and you have to keep eye on that.
Yeah.
And insulin
is the balancing out, the controller.
It's the chemical produced by the pancreas that does the job of controlling the blood sugar. See, I told you I was a doctor.
The insulin, yes, that's in your pancreas makes, yes.
So, yeah, that's, what year was that?
1922.
Ooh, it's fairly recent, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's not even 100 years ago that they found that there was a way of getting around this problem.
Mm.
And I don't know about type 2.
No. I do. Because I suffer from it.
Oh, okay.
Basically, it's called a lifestyle disease.
Oh.
This is where I shrink into the corner and ashamed of myself. Basically, your pancreas, again, loses control of regulating the sugar.
Yeah.
So you get another medication which basically removes the sugar from the bloodstream.
Oh.
So it's they shouldn't really both be called diabetes because they're almost the opposite of each other.
Right.
But you've got insulin for type 1 and the sugar-removing form of tablets, is more than one, for type 2.
Oh, right.
And diet and exercise for type 2, because that's the lifestyle, or lack of diet and lack of exercise creates type 2 diabetes.
Nasty, nasty.
And it's one of the fastest-growing conditions around.
It's a huge condition in Australia, with the obesity of the population as it arises. As it rises, so does the diabetes type 2. Mm.
So go to your doctor and ask for a pre-diabetes blood test.
Okay. Is that where they ask you to do a little wee and they put the piece of paper in to see what colour it comes out?
No, I don't know what they do at your doctor's, but mine's a blood test. Just a little finger prick and you put it into a little electronic meter and it says good, bad or ugly.
Oh, and then they tell you start to modify your diet and behaviour.
Yeah, because they can actually see type 2 diabetes coming, which I was unaware of. And
if type 1 is there, that'll scream out immediately.
Well, type 1, you're born with it.
But at least you can start to take measures.
Oh, there are wonderful delivery methods for insulin these days. So you don't have to do your blood tests four times a day and take your medicine accordingly. It's almost computerized now.
Wow.
So
just a little dispenser squirting goo into your bloodstream.
And our little friend Nick Jonas has type 1 diabetes.
Has he really?
Yep. Mm. And if you've seen him lately.
Who's he?
He's a very fit young singer in America, part of the Jonas Brothers.
And a bit drop-dead gorgeous to look at.
Oh, just a lot.
Well, you see, I don't know anything.
Well, see, us young guys can get you up.
Oh,
get
us,
you up
us there. Young guys. Yes. Listen to him over there.
Well, don't you boast you know about him.
I do know about him.
Hello.
Only because Phillips told me about him and I've looked him up.
Of course. Stay tuned, because when we come back, we'll be talking about sport in our world at the moment, and we might even be talking about Penal Settlement Day.
Oh, well, that's a good idea.
And just to move the show along a little bit, let's hear from Adam Lambert. He's going to be singing about the original high. Now, I hope that's not the effect that you get when you've got cranky diabetes blood sugar levels.
I think it's something to do with the weather forecast.
I think it's
so about this high coming in from the west.
I think it's about falling in love, frankly.
With the weather.
We've all got our little theories. Let's hear Adam.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are with Chris, Gordon, Phil and Julia.
And that girl who yells at us about Joy 94.9.
Yes.
Listen now.
Have to do that.
Ah, now, you've been gushing about all these young fellows that you see on the TNV and they're out of arm's reach, but wandering around the streets at the moment, there have been lots of interesting foreigners.
That's right. We used to call them New Australians. Now we call them for dinner.
Well, that was the funny thing, if I might just digress slightly. When I went once to Greece, I was looking around all for the Greek people, and all I could see was all the New Australians. but they were the same that were on the streets of Australia.
That's exactly right. Especially if you come from Melbourne, which was the biggest city outside of Athens.
Well, Europe is full of new Australians and old churches.
Yeah, Greek population. Melbourne had the biggest Greek population outside of Athens.
Yeah. Mm. We had the spectacle of the Big Bash League,
yes.
Footy, cricket. Hello.
Well, it looks. I reckon it could easily be footy. It's so hard to tell.
Someone said it's square bat baseball.
I reckon. Yeah. Well, it is. It's as boring as baseball, quite frankly.
Because you're not the demographic. You're over the age of 10.
Oh, is that what it is?
I saw this close-up of a grandpa with his two grandsons, and they were having the time of their lives and screaming, watching the fireworks and singing along. This guy's looking over the top of his glasses saying, where's the cricket?
Why isn't this a test match?
That's right.
But then we are having the proper cricket match, although they might be one-day matches with the Pakistanis, etc., etc.
Oh, my dad never got into that one-day stuff. That's not a cricket.
No.
I find that the cricket on the television, it's interesting to watch, but the commentary is so boring, you have to turn the sound off.
Yeah.
It depends whether you like the word Australia or not.
Oh, yeah.
So when I played for Australia, there's got to be a school they can go to.
Yes.
Cricket must be really good for you, because when my dad was 95, he bragged to us that he's as fit as he was then because he played cricket. He played cricket when he was 17.
Oh, right.
But probably two seasons.
But he got to be 95.
The memory
95, not out. Yes.
Well, actually, it was 95 out.
Out, yes. Oh, yes. But didn't quite meet the time.
It's a good innings, though.
Mm.
And the 4 or 5 day matches, they are drawn out. They're too long. And so I really think that the form of the game is going to be changing because of the commercial imperative.
Can I just tell you that trying to explain cricket to an American is almost impossible? I tried that in Los Angeles one day.
With a test match, you just say it's baseball on Valium and they nod.
Is that what it is?
Baseball is a bit like the T20 bash type stuff, because the main thing you go there is for the food and the beer.
Oh, is that what it is?
And the food, I mean, I've got nothing against hot dogs, but they've got these condiments out.
Yeah.
Whereas to me, a hot dog has sauce. To them, it has everything under the sun.
Yeah.
But they sit out there under the sun.
Mm.
And not very inviting.
No, well, some people who have been of the last few days sitting out in the sun are those that have been at the tennis.
Mm.
That was the noise I was looking for.
That's
we need a tennis match. Gordon doesn't like tennis. I've got to announce that now.
I am.
You're not a sporting person.
I love sport, but I prefer different types of sport. Saturday magazine on our Saturday morning show. One Saturday morning, they were interviewing Stephen Quatermain, and Stephen Quatermain was saying how he used to like tennis. He said, but now it is just so boring. He said, I cannot believe it. You know, and he's a sports commentator, and he was not enamoured of tennis at all.
If I may expose the truth behind that statement, he works for Channel 10, and Channel 7 have the rights.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so that might influence his feelings.
Well, Commercial imperative strikes again.
It could be, but to me, I'm a bit like him. I find it boring.
However, the names of the tennis stars are not exactly who we know at the moment. We're having a transition. We're having a generational change.
Mm. The names, I tell you what, are very hard to say. But our newsreader on Sunday morning when we're doing GPS, Mike, he can rattle them off.
That's good.
He is amazing the way he knows how to say those
tennis
names.
The trick is you can say any word you like, just sound confident. And say, that must have been pronounced correctly because he didn't panic.
Yeah. But we, as usual, we've got a few of the naughty boys.
Oh, they're gone.
They're getting their comeuppances.
Yeah.
I don't have any time for them.
Mm. No, but
if you don't want to play tennis, then go away and leave us alone.
Well, they should remember that it is a royal sport. Well, it was a royal sport.
It started as royal, yes.
I bet there's some queens in it now. We just don't know who they are.
Oh, heavens.
1 in 10. That's my prayer anyway. I've got one in mind.
And you've got one in mind. Yes, we know about him, don't we?
My little German friend.
Yeah.
And, of course, it was a royal sport of the French court. And that's why the actual field that they played the tennis on is called a court, because it was
a court game.
It was where the royalty would be holding, they're having their fun and games.
But I'm glad they did that, because imagine going to Rod Laver Arena and watching them play floor.
Oh, yeah, or the Margaret Court would be quite
different.
Well, boring. I think it's time Margaret Court was caught.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving right along.
Yeah, moving right along. But it,
and the sort of a few little remnants of French in the way we score.
Yes, love and...
No, that's English. So 40, love. What's your score?
15, 30, 40, and then...
Then love.
Is,
well, not love, it's juice.
You know, it's the quarters of a clock.
That's
so
right.
15, 30... And then they
couldn't say 45. Yeah.
They couldn't say, yeah.
Well, French clocks are twisted.
Yeah.
Face it.
That's right.
It's all a racket.
Oh, that's another word, French. It's a French word.
It's a backhanded way of saying things.
Oh,
on the forehand.
You can't smash that in one.
No, and I'm not going to talk about yellow fuzzy balls. Not moving right along.
We will have to edit that out.
No, you don't. Leave it in. Makes everybody laugh. But
when you score and you come to love, that in fact is the English rendition of the word, the French word, l'œuf.
L'œuf,
the egg.
Mm.
And that's where it's a zero.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So there you go.
It's not funny, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
And it went over to England in fairly, I think Henry VIII used to play it, didn't he?
Well, he could well have.
Yeah, I think.
He had a few rackets going.
Yes, yeah. But and of course, if you want to play Royal Tennis, there is a Royal Tennis Court in Melbourne, and it's over in Richmond.
Oh.
There is a Royal Tennis Court in Richmond where you can actually play, and it's a totally different game to what you see slashed around on the Rod Laver Arena.
Uh-huh.
It's just a different thing altogether.
It's probably got a soft ball. It's not
a hard ball, and that you bounce it off the walls and over.
Oh, more like squash.
Oh, more than, yeah, well, it's bigger than squash. And you,
wow.
Squash became unpopular when you ended up with vegetables just everywhere.
Oh,
we hit squash.
Thank you.
Goes right through the racket.
Oh.
Strained.
Strained.
Someone who's having a birthday, a sportsman of well-known ability, 29th of January 1960, was born Greg Louganis. He was an American diver of some quality, and he was Olympic star for them for quite a few years.
Multiple gold medal winner.
The only multiple gold medal winner in diving.
At that point. Apart from anything else, he was gay.
Mm.
But worse than that, he was HIV positive. And he, on one of his dives, managed to hit his head on the board on the way down.
He was doing a backspin, and as he went backwards, his head went clunk on the. He was on the platform. He wasn't on a board. He was on the platform.
Now he knew that having blood out and about just loose was not a particularly good look. It wasn't dangerous, but the general population didn't realise this, and he had to quickly make amends because he finished the dive into the water, and a little bit of his blood, of course, spread around. Yeah. But the chlorine in the water would have cooled anything at that stage.
Well, the team doctor at the time at the Olympics did clear the pool because of purely the dilation or dilution rate.
Greg Louganis wouldn't let anybody touch him.
No.
He did it.
Well, it was early in the AIDS crisis.
I think it was the 86 Seoul Games, I think it was.
Yeah, I think you're right there.
Yeah, I think it was in Seoul when it happened, yeah.
So it was still in panic mode.
Someone
but he's
else,
still alive.
Yeah, he is, going strong and a wonderful activist for our community as well. Born on the 29th of January, the same day, but not the same year, in 1946, Ian Molly Meldrum.
He's number one member of DTs.
Yeah, and the Melbourne.
And St. Melbourne. St Kilda.
St Kilda, sorry. Poor Molly, he managed to hurt his head as well.
He whacked his head falling off a ladder.
Not good. So, I mean, I'm not sure how old he was when he managed to fall off the ladder.
He shouldn't have been climbing it. I believe he was over 50. Apparently, when you get over 50, you should not climb ladders.
Yeah.
And he was in the Christmas joy spirit. I was trying not to say spirit. But it actually cured his stuttering.
What?
When he when he recovered, he could interview much more clearly than before.
Oh,
he was the original mumbler, wasn't he? I think we're bad. No, he was worse.
But it was part of his character.
It was.
His personality.
As much as his little hat was.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We never found out what was under that.
No.
It could have been a bunny rabbit.
No.
Because from a distance it looked like hair.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, that sort of rabbit, you mean.
Well, it's about time for us to go. So, until next week, we've got to say cherry poos to all of you.
Yep.
Goodbye.
We'll do it with music.
We will.
What are we going to do it with?
We'll have Madonna come in and sing a little song
for us. Friend of Molly.
She made a big impact on the rally against Donald Trump. Oh, yes, boy, did she ever.
She just said she didn't remember how many times she wanted to blow up the White House. What's wrong with that? It's just conversation.
Yes.
Okay, until next week. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.